And I want to start with a series this year. I just want to call it Grow. Just about you and I growing in our relationship with God. And more than it is about just goal setting and growing, because that's kind of what we do, right? We say we're going to set goals and we're going to put action steps and we're going to do all the things that that all the self-help books tell us, and that's all great stuff, all right? No, nothing wrong with any of that. I love it, and I think you know how to do all that. But I want us to think about growing in different terms this year. I want us to think about growing as it becomes important for us to start our relationship with Christ over from time to time. Not that we're not saved, but it's just a starting over point to say, let me reevaluate, let me look at my life, let me see what needs to change so that my relationship with God can be the best it can be. And so I really want us to think about this word surrender and just ask ourselves this question: is my life surrendered to God? Is my life, don't look at anybody else, just think about it for yourself. Is my life surrendered to God? Or is this area or that area of my life surrendered to God? I want to try to help bring this into focus. In Death Valley, Arizona, I want you to take a picture, or take a look at this picture. This is Death Valley, Arizona. It's the hottest, driest place in America. Nothing grows there. Nothing grows there because it doesn't rain there. That's why it has the name Death Valley. This is kind of an iconic picture of Death Valley. It kind of signifies what Death Valley is all about. Everything that goes there seems to die because there's no water there. But in the winter of 2004, it rained in Death Valley. It rained 7 inches in just a short period of time. Now, in the spring of 2005, that was the end of 2004. In the spring of 2005, something amazing happened, a phenomenon happened that they had very rarely ever seen in Death Valley. The whole floor of Death Valley was completely covered in flowers. Take a look at this. Now listen, we're from Texas, and we know about wildflowers. We actually are so proud of it. We brag about it, and people come here just to take pictures with our wildflower. You see people in the middle of interstates with their children. Like, there are cars out here. Go take your picture somewhere else. That's in Texas, but in Death Valley, they don't see this very often. Now, here's what's important. What it proves is that Death Valley was not dead. It was only dormant. Nothing dead about Death Valley. It just needed a little water, and everything that had been dormant for so long started to bloom. Now, God wants your life and my life to bloom. He wants us to cultivate a relationship with Him. He wants us to honor Him, and He wants to bless us in the process. But it's not just simply about improving your life a little over last year. It's not just about being a slightly better version in 2023 than you were in 2022. Now listen, if you want to lose some weight, lose some weight. We're all for you. We got your back. We're going to cheer. We're going to say, it looks like you're getting skinny when you lose some weight. All right? That's important. We want to encourage each other. That's not what we're talking about today. It's more than just becoming slightly better. It's more than just improving a little bit. It's about surrendering our hearts to God. If we truly are living in that dormant state and we're wondering why things aren't blossoming, why they aren't blooming, it might be that we aren't really surrendered in our lives, that we haven't really given Him everything that we should give Him. And I want to start with this scripture, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said to His disciples, now look, before we read it, this one's rough, okay? This is where Jesus just punches you right in the mouth. All right, he doesn't hold anything back. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." That's not just a fun picture of, "Hey, if you want to follow me, come on, it's going to be a party." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to have to follow me. Now just smile at me to let me know that you're going to love me at the end of this message, because this is going to be a hard one. All right, everybody came to church today thinking he was going to tell us how to get on track and feel better. And that's not, I'm just going to say what Jesus said. He said, deny yourself. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. Denying self means that we renounce our right to rule our own lives. To deny myself means I give up my right to be the ruler of my life. There's a lot out there nowadays that tell us that we've talked about this before, just be you, just do you, just whatever. You know, that's not true. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, you are so messed up, you need to deny yourself. Because if you follow the path that you want to follow, you're going to end up in the wrong place. He said, I need you to deny yourself. Now, I can continue to live my life with me at the center, or I can live my life with Christ at the center. What am I going to do in 2023? Am I going to live my life with me at the middle of everything and the focal point of my life, or am I going to live my life with Christ at the center, the focus of everything? He said, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to give up your right to be whatever you want to be, and you're going to have to deny yourself of you. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. Then he said this, you got to take up your cross. Now, to understand the cross that Jesus was referring to, we got to talk about what he did not mean. He did not mean that your cross was just a difficulty or a bad decision in your life. You know, it's just my cross to bear. You know, bad situation happens in life. That's my cross. No, that is not what he's talking about. I got laid off from a job. That's my cross to bear. No. He's not referring to that. A cross was an instrument of death. The Romans, in the lifetime of Jesus, the Romans crucified around 30,000 people while Jesus was walking the face of the earth. It was a very real picture to the people he was talking to when he said to them, you're going to have to take up your cross. He was saying, you're going to have to die. Spiritually, you're going to have to die and give me the throne of your life. He said, you're going to have to get rid of that old man. You're going to have to stop doing it your way, and you're going to have to start trusting me to do what needs to be done in your life. So he said, you got to deny yourself. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to give up yourself and put Christ at the center of everything we do. This is not a pretty picture of Christianity. We've sort of painted this picture of Christianity that if you give your heart to Christ, everything's going to be joyful and loving and kind. It's just going to be fun from here on out. And Jesus didn't paint that picture. I want to challenge us starting this 2023 year. What if we denied ourselves? What if we took up our cross? What if we said, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it his way. I want everything in my life. I want to spend my money the way he wants it spent. I want to pray the way he wants me to pray. I want to share the gospel the way he wants me to share the gospel. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to get myself out of my comfort zone and so that he can use me for his glory. I want to deny myself. I want to die to myself, and I want to follow him, which is the third thing he said. I want you to follow me, he said. So Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I'm going to assume that we're going to all work on denying ourselves and taking up our cross. But then I want to talk about this morning, just for a minute, what it means to follow him. If you're following someone, it means they're going somewhere. It's a journey. It's a journey. You ever tried to follow somebody who wasn't looking in the rearview mirror and making sure you were back there? And by the end of it, you're like, I'm going to knock him out when I finally, he knows I'm back here, and he drives through every red light, makes me run every red light. He turns when I can't see him. You know, now with GPS, it's not so bad. You just know that person ahead of time. You're like, I don't even want to follow you. Just give me the address, all right? You're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to get somewhere. It used to be when you followed somebody, you were the driving faster than everybody in that line of cars if you were in the back. But nowadays, we know that we can just do it on our own, which is kind of what we started doing with our spiritual lives. I'm going to punch in here where I want to go, and then I'm going to take the directions that I create. And Jesus didn't say, you get to decide. He said, follow me. He said, I'm taking you on a journey. You have to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. I'm taking you somewhere. If you want to be my disciple, follow me. Follow me. Now listen, we got to keep up. Jesus is moving. He's moving this journey along, and he wants us to keep up with him. The question here as we get deep into this is, am I going where Jesus is going? Is my life going where he's going? Am I following him? Am I following him in my decisions? Am I following him with my family? Am I following Christ? Am I going where he wants me to go? There's three things I want us to get out of this, these two words, follow me. Here's the first one. Following requires a willingness to be led. Can we just say there's some stubborn people in this room? Starting right here. All right, somebody actually said to me at Christmas break, you're stubborn, aren't you? I said, well, a little bit sometimes. I don't know how to say it any other way. Following requires a willingness to be led. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I've got to say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to stop thinking that I'm in charge. Now throughout the scripture, the Bible uses sheep as a metaphor for followers, and he gives us these beautiful pictures of what sheep do. I want to read this for you. Psalm 23, the first four verses says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's talking about you're a sheep, right? You follow. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a beautiful picture of a sheep following a shepherd. But here's the thing. Sheep don't argue with the shepherd. Sheep just go where the shepherd says to go. When Jesus is leading us, some of us are not acting like sheep. Some of us are acting like mules. There are other names for mules. You can think of those later. You ever see those pictures of somebody trying to pull a mule and he's just standing there with his feet out? Like, I'm not coming. Are you crazy? This is my spot and you can go anywhere you want to, but I'm not going. Some of us are doing that with God. Jesus is saying, I want you to deny yourself. I want you to take up your cross. I want you to follow me. And we're planted right where we are so hard. We are not pliable because we're not trusting the shepherd. We're not trusting that he has a better place for us to go than we want to go. We got to give that up if we want to follow him and be his disciple. Here's number two. Following is an exercise in trust. Man. The only reason I would follow, if you said to me today, hey, let's go out and eat at a new restaurant, and I did not have my phone with me, and we did not have an address, and I was required to follow you, and you said to me, just follow me. If I trust you, I'm going to pull my car out, and I'm going to follow you all the way to the restaurant. If I don't trust you, I'm going to sit in the parking lot and Google until I find the restaurant and I find the address and I can put it in. But trust says, okay, wherever you're going, I'm going. Wherever you go, I want to go. John 14:6 says this, Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the way. Jesus said it, I want you to follow me. I am the way. I'm not just taking you along the way, I am the way. Some of us are constantly trying to figure out our next step, and we're exhausted. Got to figure out my next step. Got to make plans. Got to work harder. Got to do this. Got to accomplish that. And we're tired because we think that we have to figure out the way. And Jesus all along has said, look, I want you to follow me. I am the way. I want you to get to know me. I want you to work, allow me to work in your life. Here's the question. Am I willing to go where he wants me to go? Am I willing to do what he wants me to do? Are you going where he wants you to go this morning? Are you doing what he wants you to do this morning? Do you know him? Are you in a relationship? Do you trust him to take you where you need to go? Now listen, it's hard sometimes to trust. I got an idea of where I want to take this thing, right? I got an idea of where I think my life ought to end up and what it ought to look like. And sometimes God has other plans. And when I deny myself and I take up my cross and I follow him, I end up in a different place. But here's the beautiful part of this. When I follow him, it will always be a better place than I would have ended up by myself. He's always taking me to a better place than I would have taken myself. I want to encourage somebody this morning to trust him. Trust him. Just trust him. What's going on that's out of your control? Trust him. Who's the person that you want to change and you can't change him? Trust him. Trust him. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Here's number three. It's important to know the one you're following. It's important to know the person you're following, the one you're following. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 is the Apostle Paul telling the church at Ephesus. He's really saying, this is what I pray for you. He's sort of a father figure to them, and he says to them, I keep praying that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, here's what he's praying for them, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He's saying, very simply, he's saying, I'm praying that God helps you to know him better. When I first met my wife, I just wanted to be around her. It didn't matter, and I still feel the same way today, so don't read anything into that. I still feel the same way today. I just wanted to be near her. Listen, I would drive 2 hours from my house to her house just to see her for 2 hours and drive back home. We'd sit on her mom and dad's couch and just talk and talk and talk. And I just want to know what's your favorite color? Silly stuff. What's your favorite memory? Just want to know. Just want to know. I want to know everything. What's going on? Where are you headed? What's your dreams? What do you want out of life? I just want to know. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, I just want you to know him better. I want you to know Jesus better. That's what 2023 ought to be about for us. I want to know him better. One of the biggest misconceptions of Christianity is that Christianity is a religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. You can't go check, 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 check. I did it. I'm done. That's not the way it works. It's a relationship with who? With Jesus. Between you and Jesus. If I want my life, if it's dormant and I want it to bloom, take a look at the flowers. If I want it to bloom, then I got to know him. I got to be in relationship with him. The relationship was the water meeting the parched ground. When Jesus shows up in our lives, our old parched, nasty, dirty, dry lives, it creates something beautiful, but we got to be in relationship with him. It's not about religion. Religion allows you to check the boxes. Went to church, prayed for 5 minutes, read a scripture, did this, did that, gave my tithe. That has nothing to do with that. Has to do with relationship. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He said, look, it's not about figuring it all out. It's about being in relationship and allowing God to work in your life. Religion will suffocate you, and relationship will give you life. Religion is an unfulfilling cycle. Got to keep going, keep going, keep going. Relationship satisfies our soul. He wants to speak to us and he wants to work in us. Religion says that you are focused on the external, and relationship says you're focused on the internal. It's not just about the stuff that's happening around you. It's what's going on the inside. Religion is performing rituals, and relationship is when we worship God from the heart. When we just connect our heart, allow him to connect our heart to his heart. Somebody once said religion is spelled D-O or do. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's already done. It's not about what I can do. It's about what he can do. He's just saying, I want you to be pliable. I want you to be usable. I want to take you on this journey. I want to work in your life. And again, the next question is, do I know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Do I have a relationship? And what if we decided, what if we decided that 2023 is going to be the year that we fall in love with the Word of God? That 2023 is the year that we're going to learn how to pray. But we quit saying, I don't know how to pray. And we're just going to learn how to pray. What if 2023 is the year we said, we're going to start serving other people more than we serve ourselves? What if we said 2023 is going to be the year that we know God more deeply and we desire God more deeply than we ever have? What we're really saying is, I'm going to deny myself, I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow him. Now listen, I hope you get in shape, and I hope you save more money, and I hope all that stuff happens. All the stuff, the New Year's resolution list, I hope all that stuff happens. But more than anything else, is, do I know him? Am I in relationship with Jesus so that he can work in my life? Not, are you saved? Some of us approach our salvation as like fire insurance. Like, ooh, I got that. I'm not going to hell. That's taken care of. I know Jesus is the Savior. Listen, he wants it to go further than that. He wants it to go further. He wants a relationship. Fellas, if you told your wife, I got a list of stuff that's going to prove that I love you. I came home today, check. I brought my paycheck, check. I told you I love you three times, check, check, check. And you gave them this list. Here's the proof. What do you think's going to happen? I'm going to say it's not going to go very well. Because she's not looking for a checklist. She's looking for a relationship. It could be vice versa. You can switch that list. Those two people. It's about relationship. I want to encourage somebody to do this. When you start deciding what your spiritual life looks like in 2023, I'll tell you what I've had a tendency to do. All right, I'm going to read the Bible through. So I'm going to get on the Bible app and I'm going to come up with a new plan that I've never seen before. And this one's going to be different. All right? And every morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get my coffee and I'm going to read umpteen dozen chapters today so I can read the Bible through. I even started one time that I was going to read the New Testament in 30 days. Listen, that's a lot of reading, all right? Don't even, unless you're a fast reader, don't even mess with it. But that's what we have a tendency to do. I want to encourage you to do something different this time. What do you need to do to build your relationship with Jesus? Because if the relationship with God is true, because here's what Jesus said, and we're going to close. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Some of us get it backwards. We think if we obey him, that means we love him. That's not what it says. He said, if you love me, you're going to obey me. It's about relationship first. You're not faithful to your spouse because you've marked the boxes. You're faithful because you love that person. And then the faithfulness just comes out of the love. I just want to do right by this person because I love them. Not because I got a bunch of boxes I'm checking off. It's a relationship. Deny myself. Take up my cross. follow him. I want you to stand with me if you would. What can you do? From time to time, Jody and I will sit down when our life is so busy and we're going in a million different directions and life is stressful. We will sit down and we go, what do you need from me this week? It's really saying, I want to make sure that you're taken care of. I want to make sure that you're getting what you need from me this week, because I don't want us to, because we can't afford for us to be butting heads this week. We got too much other stuff. So let's take care of each other first. Let's handle this first. Let's handle the relationship first, and all this other stuff will take care of itself. What if we said that to Jesus this week, starting 2023? Lord, what do you need from me this week? What do you want from me this week? I bet it's going to start with something like, I'd just like some time with you. Just sit down with me. Just open your Bible with me. Don't try to conquer your Bible this week. Just sit down and open your Bible with me this week. Let me speak to you. Most of us are moving so fast. We got so many irons in the fire. I got 12 minutes to have devotion this morning. Got to hurry. Got to get on the road. Got to go. I know where there's stuff to do. But we plan time for most of the things we want to plan time for. If the relationship is right, then all these other things start handling themselves. So rather than deciding, here's all the boxes I'm going to check this year, let's start with relationship. And I believe God's going to help us this year. Relationship. To know him. So I want you, if you would, just to do this with me. I want you to raise your hands like this, like you want to receive from the Lord. Just to say, Lord, I'm tired of doing this my way. I'm ready for you to have your way. I'm ready for you to have your way. I want a relationship. God, we want to surrender. We want to grow in this relationship with you. We want to grow, Lord. We want to deny ourselves. We want to take up our cross. We want to follow you, but we know every bit of that, Lord, comes out of relationship. If we love you, we'll do all these other things without thinking anything about it. Lord, we pray that today, starting 2023, January 1st, Lord, that we would make our decision to fall in love with you, to choose to love you with our whole heart, to nurture our relationship with you in a way, Lord, that strengthens us to walk with you and to serve you and to honor you and put you first. We just ask, Lord, for anybody, Lord, that's listening this morning, God. Lord, we just ask for freedom from legalism, from this overwhelming desire to earn something. We just pray, Lord, today that you would help us to realize that you already love us and you already want a relationship with us. We just need to lean into that and allow you. God, speak to us today. Help us to know what our next step is in beginning this journey. And we thank you, Lord, for what's coming. We thank you, God, that this year of 2023 is going to be different than last year, Lord. That we're going to be in a more fulfilling relationship with you than we've ever been before. Not because we're doing more, but because we're nurturing that relationship and allowing you to guide us from there. And we thank you right now. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it to him right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it together.
So free, washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us near, now life begins.
Pray that this year would be a year of learning how to pray, serving others, and knowing God more deeply. Those are the four things I think are going to help us in this relationship with God. To say, Lord, I'm not creating a bunch of boxes, but here's what I think our relationship with you looks like. Here's how I want to get to know you. Here's how I want to grow. This is our place to start. Let's give up any excuses. I wasn't raised in church. All right, then you're starting from a different place than somebody who was. Who cares? To say, I want to fall in love with His Word. I want to learn how to pray. Everybody had to learn how to pray. To serve the people in our lives. And to know God more deeply than we ever have before. I believe God's going to use us. I believe it's going to be our greatest spiritual year as a church and as individuals and families as well. Father, thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you, God, for your grace. Lord, we know you've been faithful to us, and we want to walk in faithfulness to you. And we pray, Lord, that you'd use us and be glorified in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.